So it's MSN Spaces, and this is a V1 product that we're all pretty psyched about. The ideas for this product came out about maybe 18 months ago, where a bunch of people in the Messenger team and the alerts team, the .NET alerts, if you're not familiar with that, were trying to think of great new ways for people to communicate with each other. And one of the things that really plagues us is trying to make our products as engaging as possible. And with Messenger, if I have, say, 30 people on my buddy list, chances are two-thirds of them aren't online right now. But there's all these things I could be doing to communicating with my people who aren't online. And we tried to figure out these key scenarios of what people are doing.
All right, you're talking like a PM there. This is how we talk in Microsoft. Yeah. We're talking scenario. Yeah. People don't realize how we the culture here where we talk about scenarios and customers.
Well, let me say it a different way.
Yep.
Blogs are interesting, but they have a fatal flaw that you create a blog and there's some effort required to keep it up to date. And there's some effort required of your friends to go around and, see what's going on and track back some things up. But so often you see blog sites that start up with a lot of enthusiasm that sort of wither because it turns out to be more effort than people feel they're getting back in terms of benefit. Yeah. One of the great advantages that we bring is we get to integrate across various MSN properties. And in particular, we work very well with Instant Messenger.
Right.
On your Instant Messenger list, you see Instant Messenger all the time. You have a lot of good reason to pop up Instant Messenger. You chat with your friends all the time. You get some status information about their online or offline. We're adding new status information that tells you, oh, this is a friend. He's got a blog. He's got an MSN space. And not only that, there's something new there. There's something interesting. And with very little effort, I see this gleam show up next to the name. With very little effort, I hover over that name, and I see, oh, MC's got an update, and here's some thumbnails of a few pictures he put up. Those look kind of cool. And here's first couple of sentences of his recent blog post. Click on that, and I go to his space.
I agree completely. The two things that we really focused on over the past year was, one, is how do I create, new sharing experiences where I can share stuff with my friends and family or maybe people I don't even know but might be interested in me if I kind of made myself cool on the web. The second thing is how to solve the problem that Messenger already solved. Is when I log into Messenger every day, I know exactly who's online. I know everyone changed their friendly name to say something witty about something happened over the weekend. They're already using this, they're hacking this product to express themselves.
Yep.
How do we plug into that and make that be the control panel to kind of staying in touch with everybody?
So what can you put in your space? You can put
there are two different activities that we focused on. When we tried to think about the things that I'd want to do to kind of share, with my friends and family,
right.
It's simply put, blogging and photo sharing, right? So photo sharing can kind of stand as its own kind of product category, where I might have 15 pictures of my dog or 15 pictures of my son that I just want to share with friends and family. Or I might have a bunch of pictures that I've taken on my last trip to Tokyo that I just want to put up on the internet and have people see how cool I am because I've actually been to Tokyo. The two things that are interesting is being able to easily take a bunch of photos that I have and share them.
Yeah.
And the second is, how do the people who might actually want to see those photos, how do they get notified that I have a cool new photo up? That's the stuff that we've been building, focusing on that sort of trigger of knowing when there's a new photo album to kind of experience.
So the people who are trying to put the New York Times out of business probably won't use my spaces, right?
Correct.
It's probably going to be people who want to keep, 15 friends up to date or...
Absolutely.
I don't know. I mean, you could certainly use it for a traditional blog,
I certainly plan to put New York Times out of business with my blog because it's going to be cool and I'm going to have, a lot of people looking at it.
Well,
but that's not what our focus has been. The traditional blog space is something that we play very well in.
Mm-hmm.
Postings and photos, and we do all the blog things that you expect, trackbacks and comments and all those kind of things.
Right, but Glenn Reynolds, who does InstaPundit, or Andrew Sullivan have been, some of these guys have been on CNN and have I think Glenn has 150,000 readers a day or something like that.
We're not looking to put the New York Times out of business,
yeah.
But what we are looking, we might be competing with the New York Times about what you read first. Every time I wake up in the morning at 10 a.m., I want two newspapers. I want the one that's going to tell me what's going on in the Middle East, what happened last night while I was asleep, and the second one is who got drunk at the party last night because I left early. Which one is the most interesting one to me? Which one is the most relevant? Which is the one that, might have the most impact on, interesting things that happened today,
yeah.
it's probably the second one, right? So we might be competing with the New York Times about, like, check me out first, but in reality, we want to work with a bunch of different, you know, aggregation tools to make sure that who got drunk at the party last night and the 15 people who are going to tell you are just a click away.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. So it's a different style of blog, where, like, my blog is just put out there, and you don't know, unless you're using RSS News Aggregator, you don't know when I'm published. You have to come and visit me, you know, in a browser. So now I can subscribe to somebody or have them in my MSN Messenger, and they'll show me when they published.
Yeah, there's two different things that we want to give you the ability to do. One is to just kind of communicate. The other is to give you the tools to kind of look cool, right?
Yeah.
So in Messenger, what you're going to see is I'll be able to hover over the Scobalizer in my buddy list, and I'll get a little contact card. And we give you the tools to...
Are you going to give me a demo, by the way?
We can give a demo today.
Yeah,
if you'd like.
We'd love it.
You'll have a little contact card, which is almost kind of like your consumer's business card, where you can design the background of what that thing looks like, and actually your user tile will be embedded in that. So we kind of give you the tools to kind of increase your online identity,
yeah.
right? To kind of make you as cool as possible. The second thing is we'll just give you these applications to allow you to communicate.
Now, I used to be director of marketing for a small blogger company before I came to Microsoft.
So I understand.
I still use their tool, but, you know, they have like one or two machines, maybe three machines now. And if one of those machines goes down, my blog's gone. I have to move it somewhere else. Now, the nice thing about the tool is I can, but I still would have a lot of disruption. What's the data center like that the MSN Spaces is in?
So,
and what, you know, what does it mean to build, you know, we talk about trustworthy computing here or trustworthy services. And, you know, when a customer is thinking about where they should put their blog, what, you know, obviously one of the things is, will it ever go down? Is it a company that I trust? Is it a company that can keep it running?
So there's advantages and disadvantages to making a product under the MSN umbrella. And one of the disadvantages is that you can't do anything halfway. The MSN brand is something that we personally have to go out of our way to protect. And that means a certain quality level that we have to adhere to. That means a certain reliability level that we have to adhere to. It also means that when we go out with a product, if our product is even moderately successful, there's going to be millions and millions of people using our product.
I'd say even if it's a failure,
it's a failure, they're still going to... That's right.
I mean, how many people are using Hotmail? You know, 200 million.
There is in the ballpark of 200 million active Hotmail users, and within the ballpark of 150 million active Messenger users. And in the count of Messenger, active is not some guy who logged in 2 years ago and hasn't used it since. It's people who've been using it over the last 30 days.
Wow.
So we are plugging directly into a product that has that sort of volume. So you can imagine that we overbuild. You know, although we're a V1 product, we're designed to be able to handle that sort of traffic and to be able to scale up and down, just adding more boxes or removing them to the boxes depending on what we need at a moment's notice.
I don't know if we should talk about like numbers of servers, but there's racks of servers. We have a very professionally run data center. We will be a very reliable product, and that's something that is going to maybe distinguish us from the smaller blogs, but it's something that people who come to MSN for anything expect. When you go to Hotmail, it works. When you go to Slate, you can read the article. It just works. We have to just work.
Yeah. And certainly, I mean, let's say you have a million people on blogs. Most of them are going to have, you know, 15 readers. I used to joke, before I came to Microsoft, I'd have 18 readers, right? You know, my mom, my dad, you know, my five friends, and maybe a few other people who just stumbled along, you know.
Right, on blogging is a write-only medium, right?
Yeah, write-only medium. It's not quite true, because now, you know, Most of the bloggers I hang around with are getting thousands. But,
sure.
But you know, most bloggers, when they start out, you know, have a dozen or so. But some people do something interesting, you know, and interesting is hard for me to define because it's different every time.
But
somebody will get slashed at it. Somebody will get on the homepage of MSN. Like Dave Weiner got pointed to by the homepage of MSN, and 200,000 people showed up.
So sure.
One little link and one little article.
And we're going to be able to support that. You know, that's one thing with MSN. that we'll be able to support whatever traffic you throw at us. It's going to be interesting to see. We've talked about this. Who are the popular blogs going to be? There's going to be some killer blogs on MSN. We have no idea what they're going to look like. We have no idea what they're going to be about.
We're actually shipping a beta of our product right now in Japan, yeah. And some of the product managers in the Japanese sub over there, who are, I believe he manages Xbox, he's got a wildly popular space, you know, where he's actually just talking about how cool his product is, and he has a lot of readers. There's one kind of blogger, you know, like you and some of your pals that have, you know, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of readers. We want to scale to be able to handle people like that, but we also want to, I want to handle 4 million of people like my mom that might have 13 people that she's sharing photos with, but I want to support 4 million of those people. Yeah. Same sort of scale issues that you'll deal with hosting Dave Weiner.
Yeah. I would imagine that since you're aiming at my mom or your mom or normal,
To be clear, we're aiming at both.
Yeah.
Like we think that my mom and, you know, myself for that matter, or my brother and my cousin, they're being underserved where they don't have a really cool way to blog to their friends or just have a platform where they can share their thoughts and feelings about the latest New York Times article, let alone sharing a bunch of photos. They're being underserved, so we're keeping an eye on them, but we want to build for everybody.
But what I was getting at is many of the blog tools out there today are aimed at the geek, aimed at somebody who understands their way around a computer knows what a blog is, knows what a trackback is, knows what a ping server is, and knows what HTML is, and, you know, and knows how to, in some cases, you even have to set up your own server and put your own database on it, and put your own, development environment on it. You know? Tell me a little bit about some of the work that you've done to make it easy to use for a normal everyday person.
Well,
not a geek like me.
There are two activities where I want to kind of share things with the outside world, and then there's a bunch of activities that involve finding out what cool things you have to do. If you look at them differently, those two isn't two different discrete things that you have to do. You can imagine how easy, you know, adding a blog entry should be. You should be able to click a button. There should be a big box. I should be able to write in some rich text. I should be able to click a button that says, you know, publish.
Yeah.
Like, it can't really be more difficult than that. Yeah. When you actually create a space for the first time, the hardest decision that you have to make is what should the URL be. Like, you pick a URL. You could, you know, MC hot if I want it to be, and then I'm ready to go, and then that button to actually start doing the blog entry is there for me. Are there other tools that are more advanced that we give people access to? Yes, but maybe they're a couple clicks away. Can I click a button and set up a mobile interface so I can actually take photos and blog entries directly from an advanced phone or any phone and just email it directly to my space so I can collect photos at a party and have it ready to submit to my space? Yes, but if you don't have that phone, we're not going to, you know, force you to make decisions about that. And you can go and do that, you know, when you want to.
Right.
We have a permissions model that allows you to kind of make it private by default, so only my cousins and my brothers can see it. Yeah, but maybe that's a couple clicks away because we don't want to force
there. That's something that a lot of people ask about blogging. Can I make my blog private, particularly for corporate bloggers? Because, you know, if you're doing a blog and you want your partners or your customers to read it, but you don't want anybody else to read it, it's hard, you know, on some of the systems to set up a private little blog. How do you do it on MSN?
We wanted to make it really simple for people. If we wanted to increase the pie of people who could use, you know, internet apps like you know, blogging apps to share with their friends, not everyone is going to want to just kind of, not everyone has the ego of wanting to put all their stuff in public and have it be, you know, critiqued or even have pictures of their kids up on the internet in public. Some people just don't want that. So we had to have a really easy model for permissioning. So we have public or messenger only or what we call private. Messenger only is whatever's in your messenger buddy list, whoever you already get permission to kind of interact with you using IM, those people can see your space. No one else can see it. In fact, they don't even know you have space.
Interesting. I see a non-Windows computer over here, a Macintosh.
This is.
And I noticed that there's a lot of Macintoshes in this building.
Sure.
I'm not going to get fired for showing that. That's an inside joke. But why are you guys
play with Mac? Well, I personally, before I came to work on this cool V1 opportunity, I actually was the group program manager for the Macintosh team, where I worked on Macintosh Office for about 6 years. So I was trying to figure out some new thing to do, and I thought coming over here to crazy MSN land and shipping great internet products was the way to go. But there's a bunch of people like myself who have worked in different little odd groups across Microsoft, and a lot of people who, it's kind of hard to be in industry for as long as some of us have been and not at some point been way into the Mac and wanting to make sure that the Mac is a seat at the table. So if you walk through the hallways here, you'll probably see a Mac in maybe every three offices.
Right. We're building a web application,
yep.
And if you want a blog to be popular, you want all your friends to be able to access it. And so for developers and testers and program managers, we want to make sure that the Mac experience is a good experience. It's also, as MC sort of implied, we look for great ideas everywhere, and one of the places to look for great ideas is Macintosh.
Yep. Along that lines... last night I noticed the MSN search engine is the only one of the big three to spit out XHTML. And what's the standard story on, are you guys going to support web standards, or are you doing something weird, or tell me what your HTML looks like.
So I'll talk about that. It is, some of our competitors do stress that one of their customer benefits is that they're XHTML compliant. I'm not sure why that's a customer benefit exactly, but we weighed looking at that and came down on the side of, no, we're going to have valid HTML. We're not at this stage going to have XHTML.
Okay.
We do go out of our way to generate HTML that browsers are going to be able to deal with well. We don't have any invalid HTML generated as far as I know. I hope that's still true by the time this ships.
And you're testing on all sorts of different browsers.
We test on all sorts of different browsers.
Like Opera,
right.
And Firefox and IE.
Sure. We do in some cases behave differently on different browsers. We're an MSN product after all, and we want to make sure that we have a great experience on our own browsers. And we also want to, but as I said, you know, this is an interesting product if all your friends can get to it. And not all your friends, not all even my friends, use IE exclusively. So it's important.
But from a testing perspective, we are an R&D team. We're working on a V1 product. And
That's a good point.
Do a lot of statistical analysis of where all of our customers are coming from. And it just so happens that, you know, more than 90%, upwards of, say, 92% of people who visit MSN properties are coming at it from IE on Windows.
Yeah.
So from a test matrix perspective, we have, you know, one output of HTML optimized for that 92% case.
Yeah.
But then all the things that we know do not work or not compliant in other browsers, we have another code path that we make sure is standards compliant. And we're a V1 product. If we find that there's some problems with some of the HTML we emit that we haven't detected so far, we'll go and do that because we want to have a really good experience down level. But just to stay sane, we're focusing on our what we call our downstream HTML to be as standards compliant as possible.
We also, just to cover the standards, we generate an RSS feed. It is RSS 2.0 compliant straight down the line. So.
Oh. Big nice. Iron like that.
Yeah, so. I do.
Along those lines, what was I just thinking? You threw me with the RSS.
That's a whole other conversation
there. Back to standards. Are you guys going to have your own block? So can
I have one now?
You have one now.
I do. I don't want to advertise yet because there isn't anything nice and witty there, but we are working to have most of the people in the product team to not only do we want them to create a space, but we want them to create an outwards-looking face where they can actually talk about how our core product is directly to our customers.
Well, what I was getting at was you were saying this is a version 1 product, and invariably with version 1 products, you don't always do everything right. So people can go to your blog and leave a comment and tell you, hey, can you improve this or can you make the standards compliant
over here? Yeah, absolutely. So I can't promise that anything will be witty by the time we ship.
It's a competition with the MSN search blog, right? You got to be...
So we'll start off at spaces.msn.com/member/MC. M is in Mary, C is in Charlie.
Okay. Cool, and I'll definitely link to that from the Channel 9 video as well. So
there you go.
what are some of the fun things that you guys are going to try on your own blocks? What would you suggest, you know, people try when they first set up in an MSN space?
You know about blogging. Yeah. You've been doing it for a while. I just discovered blogging over the past year, really. And I came to work in this group because I thought this seemed like such a cool place to be. There is magic in blogging that people don't understand until they do it.
Yeah.
You create a blog, a couple of your friends find out about it. In fact, I did a little experiment where I created a blog and told one person and just watched to see how quickly it would trickle out. And pretty soon, friends of friends start to discover you. People you haven't met in years can contact you out of the blue. People who find your blog because it shows up on weblogs.com or some most recently updated list or something, randomly connect to you. And I've made personal connections with people all over just because I've had this goofy little blog going on.
It also it changes the way that you think about things. Like, yeah. I started a blog myself about a year ago when I joined this team. And it used to be I would go into a coffee shop and something funny would happen with, like, the cash register lady would say something funny. And I'd be like, you know, I'm going to tell my wife that story. Now the same thing happens, and I'm thinking, I'm going to blog about this, right? So it's like once you have an outlet to kind of express yourself to your friends, but like just anonymous people.
You know
you're
deep and you tell your wife, hey, why don't you read my blog?
Yeah. I already wrote up about that a month ago.
Yeah. It was already a cartoon about that. It was pretty funny. What are some tips for doing a good blog? What kinds of blogs do you guys find interesting?
Well, the things that I find interesting, there's two different classes of spaces / blogs that I think are interesting. One are blogs like yours that are very dedicated to just sending information out, like, broadly, but with it, there's a little personal touch to it that you don't get from the New York Times. Like, I know it's a human being that's doing this. So even though, unlike you, who I know, there might be a random person that I find out that just has an interesting blog, and I like almost kind of, like, prowling and kind of reading his blog and getting to know him as well as the cool topic he talks about. The other category is just my coworkers, my friends, my uncle, all these people who are just, maybe they're not very witty, but like they're just kind of stretching the legs and going out there and talking and using a new medium. It's almost as if what my grandmother must have been like when she picked up a phone for the first time and suddenly there's this new way of talking. Like kind of watching people do that I think is pretty cool.
Well, and that's exactly right. Blogs have been around for a few years, but they're just starting to become something of a cultural phenomenon. We don't really know how they're going to be used. Sure, there's several blogs that I go to, mostly some friends. I check out some of the big ones. And there's so little formation of patterns so far. It's going to explode in ways that we can't imagine, and I think that's part of the fun of working on this product is we're going to see things we don't expect. Is creating a good blog, though, you know, the rules are simple, you know. Say interesting things, say them frequently enough that people can come back and get some benefit from coming back. Be funny, be informative. You know, it's just like being a success in real life. There's some social skills involved, and it's going to be interesting to see how that translates into the
To community. Me, linking to other people is really important because that helps them see you, because if you click on that link, you show up in the refer list.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it also brings people back, because if you're linking to five great things every day, people start figuring that out and start wanting to come back to you. And that's sort of how I made my blog into.
I think that's one style of blogging. That's like it's like the people at the top of the pyramid, the people who a small group of people that are just sending out an enormous amount of really interesting information. And we want to hook people up with those sorts of people. So we want to find them out and kind of, you know, pitch to my mom, hey, there's this person out there that's spitting out all this interesting information. You should link to that person and read that person. But we also want to focus on the other path of the pyramid, the people who might not be giving me all this new relevant, interesting, and new links, but they themselves are a person I know, and just if they're blogging that they got up this morning and had a good day, that puts a smile on my face because it was my aunt, and she lives 3,000 miles away. So we're trying to work on both.
Karen, one of our coworkers, yep, is off traveling in South America right now.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, somehow at the top of some mountain in Chile, she found an internet cafe, and she's talking about what she's doing, and we're all, I mean, it's really interesting. Everybody goes and checks to see what the latest news of her exotic adventure is. Yeah, you can do that with email, but not in the same kind of way at all. There's so many scenarios where blogging is the perfect way to communicate. I have another blog that I link to from my site. A friend of mine is has left town really for the first time. She's a grad student. She's grew up here on the West Coast. She's going to college out on the East Coast. She misses her friends. She misses her family. She's on this big life adventure, and she talks about it every day. And we all get to participate vicariously in this life adventure, and we feel like we're still in touch. It gives some incentive to provide a topic for an email conversation if it's something private as well. And I communicate with her much more because of her blog than I would ever have just trying to do one-on-one email. It's an amazing medium.
Right.
No, just one comment from that. It's like a very unique thing that she's doing by herself that everyone can kind of pay attention to and experience with her. But then you take an event like the Halo 2 launch, and every single blog, it was this communal shared experience of, I'm not going to talk with my wife again for another 48 hours because I'm sitting in the basement, and we all are sitting in the basement, all playing Halo 2, all going through the same thing, and some friends of mine were blogging about eating Cheerios for dinner for like a week, you know, because their wife was on vacation at the time when Halo 2 launched.
Blogging. That was a good move. Send my wife out of town.
It was just a coincidence, which turned out to be a very positive thing.
I use a search tool called PubSub and Feedster and Technorati to watch what people are saying about various technologies. And one of the search terms was Halo 2, and I watched all these people talking about their Halo 2 experiences. It was really fascinating. Some of the other things. Are you guys... I'm going to censor any blogs for any reason.
No, but we do have a notice and takedown policy. So when you do create a communication tool for the masses, there is always the opportunity for people to do inappropriate things.
Right.
So if at the bottom of every space there's a link to report abuse, so if you find someone who is doing something offensive, posted something offensive, there's a real quick way to actually report that to us, and then we'll do the right thing.
Yeah. Cool.
Which might not always be taking an action.
There
could be people bullying other people by trying to report them.
Yeah.
But we've got people who look at those things and actually do the right thing.
Yeah. Okay. What's the back end like? What's your life like? I mean, do you code in C#? Or what's the technologies that you guys use to build this up?
Well, not surprisingly, we're based on Microsoft technologies.
Oh, really?
So, all our code is, all our server-side code is C#.
Okay.
We use ASP.NET running on all the servers. The list of technologies covers the spectrum where, DHTML, especially for IE.
Yeah.
We make heavy use of CSS. One of the things that you get to do is very quickly choose different themes for your blogs. And themes have to do with color selections and fonts and background images and so on. And so CSS is a big part of that. There's a lot of JavaScript involved, of course.
Yeah.
There's no ActiveX controls, so you don't have to worry about that. But the back-end side, again, we're Microsoft. We have huge SQL boxes that handle all the data. IIS, obviously.
We just got to the SQL Server team.
We've got the front end, which is basically all of the code that aggregates the data and then presents it, is very much completely different boxes, and actually internally managed by a different team than the people on the back end. The back end team, they own the SQL Server boxes and our blobs stored that we do for large file store and large images. And then they create the APIs for us, and then we're an application that just uses that data.
Okay.
So we don't get involved with that data access, and we just focus on a great user experience, so we build all the front-end boxes.
Okay. It's the traditional, what Microsoft calls a three-tiered application development. There's the front-end client, there's the UI servers, and then there's the data servers.
Right.
We fit very well into that model.
Now, some of our competitors are kicking out new little features and enhance the experience. Is this going to be 1.0, and then you guys are going to go and play Halo for the next 18 months?
Yeah, we're working on Hotmail as soon as we ship. So we're a V1 product, right?
Yeah.
So we are trying to figure out what our release strategy is. This team is we have a charter to build a great V2, and we're trying to figure out what our V2 strategy will be. Will we kind of work on a big, large, chunkish release, or will we have smaller releases? We're going to figure out what's the right thing to do for the market, right thing to do for the customers, and mm-hmm. then pick that approach. We can kind of go either way. There's trade-offs to kind of having smaller releases versus one larger release. You know, one allows you to do bigger, more impactful things, but you don't get to go to market as often, while the other, it's always hard to do that kind of big-ticket item when you're doing smaller releases. So
yeah.
Some trade-off between those two you'll see us doing.
Cool. And I'm sure you're going to be watching the feedback on your blog.
Sure. Feedback's going to be obviously driving a lot of those decisions. Something just to mention, I don't know if we've talked about this. When we do a release, yeah, it's a V1, but it's a Microsoft V1. That means that we're going out worldwide. It means we go out in, I think, 26 different languages.
Wow.
We have specific content for, you know, a bunch of different cultures in the 40s, I think. Again, because we're Microsoft and people expect us to do certain things, one of those is we have a worldwide product that works well everywhere, that feels like it belongs to that particular culture, and it's not just sort of
the major markets that we're supporting is all of Western Europe, United States, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, most of East Asia, India. So we're going out big.
Wow.
Antarctica is not covered, but
V2.